Bibles, and I hope you do. I'd love for you even to get back to bringing your hard copy. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. We'll begin down in verse 57. If you could ask God one thing, what would you ask Him? The true and the living God, if there was one request that you could make of Him, what would you ask? Ever how you would answer that question is going to reveal your values. As we look at the message today, the passage today, there was a man in the Old Testament that asked a question of the Lord. It was in a moment of time. I tried to preach a little bit about this last Sunday night, but it was in a moment of time in the history of Israel that they had blown it. God had brought them out of Egypt, and they had seen and witnessed the power of God. They had seen God break the power of Pharaoh and Egypt and his dominance, and they had came to that Red Sea, and God in His power had told Moses to tell him, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God opened up that Red Sea, and they walked on dry ground, and then they get over there and they begin to they sang and praised God there after they had witnessed that. But then they got over to the next chapter of Exodus and they began to cry out for manna. Lord, we want something better to eat. And God sent down manna from heaven. He sent quail to them so much that it ran out their ears. And God was blessing them and blessing them and blessing them. But then they got to a point. Moses went up to the mountain and he began to stay up there for a little while. And they began to get frustrated, saying, hey, Moses has been up there way too long. And so they got impatient. And guess what happened? They told Aaron. Aaron had told them, take off your earrings and give me your gold and we'll put it in the fire and we'll see what comes out. And golden calf came out, and the people of God began to worship that golden calf. They ate, they drank, they rose up to play. They sinned a great sin in the eyes of God. And you would think that God would be done with them based on how they were choosing to live at that moment in time, right? They've blown it. Maybe you're in here this morning. You've blown it. You've blown it 1,000 times and you're wondering, Lord, does He really care? Is He going to lift me up? Is He going to carry me again? Is He willing for me to be able to walk with Him step by step again? Well, Moses had a request and he asked the Lord. He said this, if there's one thing that I can ask you of, Lord, will you show me your glory? And he did. The Lord hid him up in the cleft of the rock, and the Lord put his hand there as he passed by. He allowed him to see a little bit of his glory, but as he departed, he heard God preach a message to him. He said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in goodness and truth, and will by no means clear the guilty. God preached a message about Himself, and the first word that He used for an erring people. Have we not done the same thing in the house of the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ has delayed His coming, and so many times instead of being a faithful steward of what God would have us to do, we say, Lord, You've delayed Your coming. We're going to be about our business rather than Your business. And we just kind of linger on and we drift out in the world and we worship the golden calves of our heart. They're not physical things, but they are things that we allow to become more important in our lives, and we think that's really going to bring life to us. That's really going to satisfy our hearts. But I'll tell you, dear friend, today there's no one and nothing that can satisfy your heart like the living God. And so as we look here in salvation history, we're in chapter 1 of Luke, and God has been silent in a sense for about 400 years. in the life of Israel's history. But I'll tell you what he's going to do once again. Just as God has magnified mercy in the past, in the days where they had blown it, the children of Israel had just absolutely blown it. God had handed down the law. God had been good to them. God had taken care of them. God had provided them, and then immediately just turned their back on God. I'll tell you, people are so fickle so many times. We're inconsistent. We lack commitment so many times. But I tell you, I'm thankful as we sang that song, "Great is His faithfulness." I'm thankful for the message of repentance that the man that I'm going to talk to you about preached. John the Baptist said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It is so important. And praise God, He's even given us a message of repentance, because we can turn back to the Lord over and over and over again. Now, there are occasions for the believer, there is a sin unto death. For those that continue to persist in sin and rebellion against God, He said, "I pray that you not ask for it." But I tell you, we can, if we're God's children. He knows how to discipline us and bring us back to where we need to be. But if we persist in that rebellion, He knows how to just say, "I'm going to take you home to be with me." But I tell you, over and over again, God magnifies His mercy. I got this little piece of paper here with the word mercy. And the other day, a couple weeks ago, I preached about Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." If you were to take her soul and to point it upward, you would see in her soul a desire to make much of God, to esteem Him, to honor Him, to give Him glory and magnify His name, because He's worthy of that praise. But here in the lesson today, we're going to see how God magnifies mercy. As He looks down from heaven, He looks in to this little family. A family that had been faithful to the Lord. Elizabeth and Zechariah had been walking before the Lord righteously. They were blameless before men. But it says that she was barren. But God makes the barren woman to rejoice. And we see God magnifying His mercy. We see God stepping in to history. And when God could say, "I'm just going to wipe my hands of these people. I'm tired of putting up with people. And I'm just going to do away with them. I'm just going to give them judgment." Instead, God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in goodness and faithfulness, and He keeps on carrying on His perfect will in this world, despite even our unfaithfulness to Him. How big is our God? Let's begin reading here in verse 57. He says, "Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered. She brought forth a son, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, that they called him Zacharias. And they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, 'Not so, but he shall be called John.' And they said unto her, 'There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name.' And they made signs to his father how he would have called him. And he asked him for a writing table and wrote, saying, 'His name is John.' And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately and his tongue loose, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt around about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, 'What manner of child shall this be?' And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts until the day of his showing unto Israel. The title of the message will come out of verse 58. It says, her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. The title is Magnifying Mercy. Magnifying mercy. God was going to magnify his mercy, not only to Zechariah and Elizabeth, but also to the nation of Israel. And as we look at the scope of what God is doing, he is also magnifying mercy to all of humanity throughout all the ages of time. God is going to step into salvation history and do something amazing right here. And so we'll look here this morning out of this passage and see that God magnifies his mercy because a barren woman rejoices at the birth of a son. Do you know that God has the power to change difficult situations? If I didn't believe that, I would stop in the ministry right now. Because if I didn't believe that God could change situations, there would be no use of trying to minister and preach this word and trying to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. But I believe that God can change things. When he gets in the middle of things, he can change things in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, by his own power and strength. But often we can be stubborn and rebellious to what he wants us to do. But here we see God changes a difficult situation. We see God's mercy magnified. We'll also see that Zechariah and Elizabeth named their son John. God had blessed them with a child. He had given to them a gift that they did not expect. God magnified his mercy. Has God ever blessed you in a way that you did not expect? God is able to do that. He has his own prerogative. He said, I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I'll be merciful to whom I'll be merciful. And then we see here that Zacharias, one of the first things that he does is God magnifies mercy as he begins to prophesy over this son, John, that would come and prepare the way of the Lord. I'll tell you, God has magnified his mercy in the fact that he has left with us a plan of salvation. What a blessing it is that there is a plan of salvation, that there is a way out of sin. There is a way out of darkness. He said that he was going to come to those that sit in darkness. He was going in the shadow of death. You know what? Every single one of us in this room have sat in darkness, in the shadow of death, unprepared to meet God, unprepared for eternity. If we died in our sin, we would not be going to Abraham's bosom. We would be going to a devil's hell. We would be there even still today. But God, in his great mercy, allowed the plan of salvation to be preached to you. And because you heard that salvation plan, instead of sitting comfortably in the shadow of death, God has raised you up and allowed you to walk in the light. You know, it's a privilege today. We were once walking in darkness, but the Apostle Peter said that he has brought us into his kingdom that we might walk in his marvelous light. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Don't go back and live in the darkness. Get on the Lord's side and do what he'd have you to do. I tell you, this is what Zacharias begins praising God for. for, because he knows that the one has come into this world to prepare the way for the Messiah. God could have said, I'm done with these people. They have continuously, the people of Israel had continuously turned their backs on God. God had blessed them. He had adopted them out of all the nations of the earth. He had adopted them. He had given them his covenant. He had given them his word. He had showed up the angel of the Lord. He had given them divine manifestations of his power and of his glory. He had given them the tabernacle. He had given them the temple. He had given them the high priest and all the sacrifices. There was no reason that they should have rejected the Lord. And the Lord could have arrived here and he could have seen that these people reject me. But instead, I'll tell you, look at his heart. He rose to the occasion and displayed God's divine love and God's divine mercy and God's divine grace and God's divine patience for an erring people. Are you glad this morning that God is God? Are you glad this morning that we can worship Him in spirit and in truth, and that we can get a little bit of Him inside of us because He has given unto us His divine nature? That we no longer have to be dominated by our flesh or dominated by the sin, but we can truly walk with God in spirit and in truth. But we got to stay in step with the Spirit. We gotta stay in step with the Spirit. The Lord's not gonna, He's not gonna make you do these things. You're gonna have to use the means of grace and spiritual disciplines to stay where you need to be. So let's look at this just a little bit deeper. We know that God has been on the move. God has been working in this situation. And in verse 57, it says, Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her son. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Think about it. Is anything too hard for this woman? She was not only, I'll tell you, Zechariah said that she was advanced in years. She was barren and unable to have children. But we see God stepping into the situation, and the barren woman that went all these years, she didn't allow her suffering to take her away from the Lord. She actually kept drawing near to the God, even in her suffering. And God so chose, even in her latter years, to bless her. Now this old woman, well advanced in years. I don't know how old she was. What if she was 60 years old? Well advanced in years. She's giving birth to her firstborn son. You may say, well, that sounds crazy. 60-year-old woman having a child. Some of y'all may be getting nervous in here. Abraham's wife Sarah was about 90. So God is able. God is able. And it says her neighbors and her cousins heard. Listen to this. Isn't it exciting when God is working in your life? Isn't it exciting when you know that God's hand is on your life and you're walking in step with Him? It says they can't even explain what God is doing. And all of a sudden this woman, and can you imagine the talk of the town that was going on in these days? Zechariah and Elizabeth, they left their little bitty village, and people in small towns talk. They left their village, they went up to the temple. When they came back, Zacharias couldn't say a word. And all of a sudden, all that we know, these two old people are now having a child. Can you imagine? I love it when God works and you can't explain it. You just are able to experience and talk about it and give praise and honor to God. That's what happened in this story. It says, her neighbors, her cousins, her relatives heard how the Lord had showed great mercy. God was magnifying His mercy in their life. I pray that God would magnify His mercy in my life. He's done it many, many times. I thought about it this morning as I was meditating on this message today, just how God had manifested and magnified His mercy in my own life. I thought about those days when I was single and I was wondering, God, will You ever send me the right woman? I'll tell you, God magnified His mercy one day and blessed me with a godly wife. I'll tell you, there's been times in the ministry where I have seen red. I remember not long after my mom and dad had passed away, and we were just a few months before our first child would be born. And I'll tell you, I ran out of money and there was red in the bank account, and I was shamed. ashamed, ashamed, and I was heartbroken, and I was devastated because I was seeking to follow the Lord, and I believe the Lord just let me bottom out there for a minute because I had other people that came around me and began to show mercy to me in my miserable state. And I tell you, God magnified His mercy. And I tell you, I remember those days when there was red in the account, overdraft and things about that. And I tell you, God has been good. I don't know if He's been good to you, but I can testify this morning that God is good to those that wait on the Lord, who trust in His promises. I remember being there the day that one of my other sons had to have brain surgery, and we'd gone over to a church member's house to get pictures, and I didn't know how the situation was going to go. I didn't know. It was heartbreaking. My heart was torn in all kinds of pieces, all the pain that I knew he was going to go through. And I'll tell you, he went through that surgery, had something taken out of the back of his head, and I'll tell you, this past week, he was playing in a football game. I'll tell you, does God not manifest His power and His glory in our lives? He knows how to magnify His mercy. I don't know why anybody in this world wants to turn to things in this world to seek satisfaction, because I tell you, there's only one that can give you the satisfaction for your soul. And that's just a few examples. I'll tell you, God has magnified His mercy in my life, and I'm not going to be quiet about it. I'm going to keep on telling people about how great this God is that we serve here at this place, because He is worthy of my praise. He is worthy of your praise, but I can't make you praise Him. I can't cause you to come out of this world of sin, but I'll tell you, I am going to be here praising the name of the Lord because I know who He is. I know what He's done. I've seen it. I've witnessed it in my own life. And when you've testified and seen that the Lord is good, you've tasted yourself, where else can you go? For you alone have the words to eternal life. I don't know where else I'm going to go. I don't know where else I'm going to turn. It's going to be me and the Lord. And I tell you, He's going to take care of His people every single time. And so many times, He's so much better to us than we even deserve. And here's what He did. Here's an example. It says here that God had showed great mercy. He had magnified His mercy in their lives. And it says here that Zacharias still couldn't talk, and they began to question, okay, is his name going to be Zach Jr.? Because that's the traditional thing, to name your child after the dad or the granddad. And so, is this going to be Zach Jr.? And all of a sudden we see that Elizabeth says, no, he's not going to be named Zacharias Jr. His name is going to be John. Where, can you imagine when she spit that out? John means God is gracious. That's what it means. God is gracious. He's magnifying mercy in this story. He is gracious in this story. He has displayed His great patience and love in this story. And she said, His name's going to be John. And they're like, okay, let's ask Zechariah, because normally he's the one that would signify what his official name would be. And he got a writing tablet, and he said, His name shall be called John. You know, it's hard to name a child, isn't it? Anybody wrestle with that? I remember when our firstborn came along and we had some things embroidered. We had a different name picked out. The Lord began to burden my heart with a name. That was tough. I'm glad we went with it, because I think the Lord would have probably kept on whipping me over that. But it's harder than you think. But I tell you, God gave him a name right here. God already had a prerogative, because when you're able to name things, it shows that you have authority over them. In a sense, Adam, when he began to name things, he had authority over those things. And God, and as parents name their children, it shows you have authority over them. But here we see that God had ultimate authority over all of us, but He had special authority over John, because God had a distinct purpose for John. And look at what happened at the end of this. Verse 63. His name is John, and they marveled all. So God is magnifying His mercy in this story. He is making the barren to rejoice. He is displaying His goodness and mercy. And we see the importance of relationships here, that Zachariah and Elizabeth and her neighbors and her relatives, they've all gathered here. They're celebrating what God is doing. And you know what? We need people to be able to celebrate what God is doing. This is why you need a church family. You need to be able to celebrate. You need people to hold you accountable, but you also need people that will celebrate what God is doing in your life. And that's what happened with Zachariah and Elizabeth. And as God was working in their life, they were marveling. They were in awe of what God was doing. It tells us in verse 64, after Zacharias had named him John, look at what happened. Do you know that God has formed our mouths for a purpose? How many things have come out of our mouths this past week that we know that are not really edifying and not really glorifying God? God made our mouths for a purpose. And Zacharias, because he was in disbelief of what God was going to do, God closed his mouth. And God also, I believe, probably stopped up his ear because he had to use a writing tablet and they had to try to get his attention some kind of way to figure out what do you think his name should be. But we see here, I like this. I think there's a purpose of this. The first thing that came out of Zacharias' mouth when God loosed his tongue, look at it. You can read it for yourself in verse 64. He said he spake and he praised God. He blessed God. He honored God. He realized, God, you're the one that's moving and working my life in powerful ways. And you know what, Zachary? He'd been silent for over 9 months. 9 months and perhaps, actually longer than that, because we don't know how long it was until they went home and they conceived. And then she carried John for 9 months. And then this is 8 days later as John is being circumcised. And he opens up his mouth. God opened up his mouth and he began to praise the Lord. And it says everybody around them, they all fear, great awe came over them. They began to sense the fear of the Lord, the awesome power of God and His goodness in their lives. And it says in verse 66, and all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child is this? What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. You know what happened? What God was doing in Zacharias and Elizabeth's hearts, and what God was doing in bringing John into the world, it says as they laid these things up in the heart, it touched them deeply what God was doing. They began to see a glimpse of that. If God can work in their lives in that kind of way, perhaps He can work in my life in that kind of way too. And they brought these things down deep in their hearts. And they said, what manner of child is this? And all of a sudden, as all this is transpiring, it says the Holy Spirit of God filled up Zacharias and he began to prophesy over his child. The Spirit of God began to reveal what manner of child this was. This one that was going to come. And I want you to hear what he has to say. He says here in verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. You know, that's the same kind of language that goes on in the book of Exodus. The people in the days of the Exodus were going through great trials and difficulties, and they were groaning and crying out to God for deliverance. It says, the Lord looked down upon them and He visited them. You know what that means? The word visit means God checked on His people. Isn't that a beautiful thing to think God checks on His people? When's the last time He checked up on you? He checked up on them right here. He checked on them. He says He has come to redeem His people, to release them from bondage, to set them free, because that's what God did in the days of Moses. God brought them out. He was going to redeem them out of Egypt. But I tell you, God visits people in the Old Testament by raising up a man by the name of Moses to help lead the children of Israel out of bondage into the promised land. But I tell you, that was just a type and shadow of what God was doing right here, because now God is actually sending the deliverer. Not just a deliverer for a short amount of time. There were a lot of deliverers that were raised up. Moses was raised up in the days of the judges. Many men were raised up. Deborah was raised up there in the Old Testament. And then you got the kings that were raised up from time to time. And many of them rose up and they fell. But I tell you, God was going to raise up a deliverer that was going to deliver once and for all. Look at what he says here. Verse 69. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Whenever you hear that in the Old Testament scriptures many times, a horn of salvation, they're picturing the big, large animals that often have horns, which are symbol of power. And what he's saying here, Zacharias is celebrating the fact that God is sending a great deliverer. He's raised up a horn of salvation. What he's saying is that God, in this moment of time, is raising up the mighty one that has the power to save, the power to deliver, the power to rescue us. You know, this morning as I stand here in this congregation, there is one that I worship today that has had the power to take me out of the power of darkness, out of the bondage of sin, and to bring new life, to grant unto me eternal life already. Oh, what a mighty one the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's come. The holy prophets have spoken about Him. Verse 71 said that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. You know today that the devil has no power over any child of God. He can try to influence, he can try to persuade us to go astray, but I tell you, today, if you've been born of born from above and sealed by the Holy Spirit, you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and Zacharias is praising God that a deliverer has been brought into this world. And it says in verse 72, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant. God had promised mercy. He had promised Abraham there in the Old Testament days, as He had taken Abraham up onto that high mountain on Mount Moriah, and He was there to sacrifice them. And the Lord stopped him and He gave him a name for that altar. He said, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord shall provide. And what was going to transpire? God was going to send the Son of Promise, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come into this world that would display God's justice and God's mercy, and He would die on the cross so that the enemy would track Him down all the way to the cross. I can imagine the devil was dancing around the cross and they were mocking Him and making fun of Him and making sport of Him and ridiculing Him. And I'll tell you, the disciples had scattered. They thought there's no way that there's going to be a way through this situation. But I tell you, when Jesus gave those words, it is finished, He opened up a floodgate. He opened up a road that no man could ever open up. And I tell you, He made a way of salvation for everyone that would believe in Him. And He not only brought us out of the bondage of sin, and He brought us and changed us and gave us a new heart. But I tell you, one of these days, He's going to take us all the way home to glory. Are you following Him today? Are you excited about this mighty one that has come to save? He has come to seek and to save those that were lost. And if He's willing to do that and track you down, who else is He willing to go out into this world? And I tell you, we'll have more excitement as we go out into this world and we tell others about Jesus and His power and His goodness, that He's mighty to save, that you don't have to keep living the way that you've been living. You don't have to live isolated. You don't have to live separated, but you can actually be on the road with God, on the road to glory with God's people. I'll tell you, that's the way He wants it for us. And so Zacharias is rejoicing in the Lord because he says our salvation, it comes for a purpose. Look at verse 74. He said that He would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies. Anybody in this room been delivered out of anything? I like that. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We need to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He says, having been delivered out of the hand of our enemies. Were we once out of our mind living a life of our own and doing what we thought what was best? It says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Anybody been on that road? God stepped in though, didn't He? And He delivered us. Why did He deliver us? Notice what He said. That we might worship Him. That we might serve Him. That word also means to worship Him. Without fear. Without fear. When God has delivered us out of the things of our past, we don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be anxious. We can worship God, serve Him without fear. He is going to watch over His people. And He goes on to say, how should we do this? Does it matter how we live our lives? He said that we might worship Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him. Do you know it matters how you live your life outside of these four walls? It matters how you live your life inside these four walls, but it also matters how you live on the outside, because we can't truly worship Him unless we worship Him in spirit and in truth. That we've got to be able to say, Lord, You desire truth in the inward part. He called us and set us apart to worship Him in holiness and righteousness. How long? How long? It says it right there in the text. All the days of our lives. Do you know when God saved you, He bought you with a price. A high price. A price that you can never pay. You know, salvation is out of our price range. You know, you go to the store, I shared this week. You go to the store and when you got money, you can go and you can buy the clothes. You can go to Walmart and get clothes, or you can go to somewhere else, or you can go to a more fashion boutique to get clothes. But oftentimes, if you don't have the money to get the clothes that you want that are higher up, I remember when I was growing up, my dad said, I'll buy this certain brand of jeans at this price, but if you want something higher, then you're going to have to go get a job. And if you want a $50 pair of jeans, I don't know what they are these days, but if you want a $50, $60 pair of jeans, $100 pairs of jeans, and you can go work for them, because I know if you work for them, you won't be tearing them all up. You'll take care of them. But there was a lot of things that are out of our price range. You know what? Salvation's out of every one of our price. I don't care how much money you got in the bank. I don't care how big and bad you are in the community or how much influence you have. It doesn't matter what kind of performance you have. Salvation, the price tag for salvation is out of every one of our price ranges. So how did you get it? You got it because God chose to magnify His mercy in your life. God looked down on a poor, wretched sinner like you and me. And God chose to call you to Himself by His mercy. It's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. And I tell you, when you receive that gift of salvation, your heart was flooded with a love for God and a love for other people. And Zacharias is rejoicing. He says that this son, this child, can you imagine him holding him in his arms and saying, this is the prophet of the Most High. He has come to prepare the way of the Lord. He's gone to make a way, because what was his message? What is the message to prepare the way of the Lord? The message that John was going to preach was that of repentance. It was repentance that, yes, sin can dominate your life, but you can turn back to God, and God is willing to show you mercy. He's willing to magnify His mercy. He's done it in countless people's lives over and over again. And He said, John had come to give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of sins. How great is God's mercy that He would be willing to forgive us of our sins. Last week we looked at His mercy is more. We saw the thief on the cross. And we heard the cry of Jesus. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How is that for mercy? What a blessing it is to know Him today. He says, through the tender mercy of our God, verse 78. And how did we get this tender mercy from our God? This tender mercy is a warm affection. This is not, I forgive you, but I don't want to be around you. You ever had somebody do that? They forgive you, but hey, keep your distance. I don't want you to be around me. I'll tell you, this is not the way God is. God, when He forgives, He seeks to restore that relationship with you. He brings about reconciliation, and He has a warm affection for you. Why does He have a warm affection for you, and how has He displayed that? It tells us here that the day spring from on high, the sunrise from heaven has shined down on you. That's speaking of Jesus, the light of the world has come to rescue you, who was sitting in darkness. It said to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. I've already shared that, but there are people in this world that are comfortable living in darkness. Just sitting around, hanging around in darkness. If you've been saved, you were there too. We were also there in the shadow of death. I'll tell you, death is something that is fearsome. It's something that it's a giant in many people's lives. That how can we overcome death? How are we going to face that one? I'll tell you, Jesus, He slayed the Goliath of death. He destroyed his power. So no longer, if you're a child of God, you no longer have to walk in the shadow of death or in the fear of death. Because we don't have to fear it. He's taking care of it. And how gracious is God that He would magnify His mercy in such a way. Not only did He take away the fear of death, but look at verse 79, the end of it. To guide our feet into the way of peace. Who in here is grateful to have peace with God today? To be right with God. To have a heart that is in tune with Him. You see, God had showed up in a time when, unexpectedly in a sense, He magnified His mercy in their lives. But He did not just magnify His mercy in their lives, but He magnified His mercy in the lives of the entire nation. And God was doing something bigger and better than they could have ever dreamed or imagined. It says here simply that John was out in the deserts until the time of his public showing. I want you to imagine this. John had older parents. Perhaps his parents had passed away. And he was raised out in the deserts. What it says. I don't know if he joined another group out there or what. But even though he didn't have John, God did a great work in his life. But John, he had a pretty tough life. He wasn't really connected to this world. He said as we'll look later in chapter 3 and chapter 4, maybe he didn't care about the food of this world that much. He didn't care about the garments that he wore, the fashion of this world. What he cared most about was serving the living God faithfully throughout his days. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for John. I'm thankful for faithful saints that have allowed God to magnify His mercy in their lives. And they have shined a light of hope and truth, not only to me, but to others around us. And I pray that God will see us here at Bethlehem. He'll allow His light to shine. And that we'll see His mercy and His compassion on us. If you're here today and you are like the children of Israel, maybe you've blown it. If you're here today and you've been wandering away from the Lord and you wonder, how is God going to treat me? How is God going to handle me? I don't have it all together. I hopefully you see right here. God helps people that don't have it all together. God is able to make a way where there seems no way. He's able to guide our feet into a way of peace. But you got to be willing. You got to be willing to follow Him. If you haven't been saved by God's grace, there's many in the Bible that have cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And what did God do? He did what He did there with Moses on the mount. He showed up there. He passed by. He did what He did in the days of Zechariah and Elizabeth. He showed up. He passed by. And I'm grateful today. If you're in need of His mercy and grace, and you call out to Him, He'll show up and pass by, and you won't be the same. Let us sing. Appreciate you hearing me this morning.